All right, I believe it is time for Children's Church. So all the little ones able to go and learn together. I'm so grateful for our workers who faithfully serve. And that's an area that is... it's more important than you might realize sometimes. So it's a blessing. And we're blessed with the workers we have. We would really like to add another team. They serve a month at a time. And we'd like to add another team if there are those who would like to serve in that ministry, have a heart for children, and love to teach and lead those little ones, then that'd be a blessing. You can get with me or Bob and Jenny about that. All right, let's look together in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we've been looking together at this passage and thinking about the fact that when you come to Christ, your very life is now identified with Jesus. And in this fourth verse, last time, we saw mention of baptism. And so I think that's primarily speaking about the fact that that when we get saved, we are baptized into Christ. And so that Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. We are in Him. Okay? We don't just know about Him. We are in Christ. And so that's a wonderful thought and a powerful thing. When you look at that verse, the question is, well, is it talking about a spiritual baptism or a water baptism? And one writer I read this week said, if you only see water in this verse, said you're missing the more important point. But if you don't see any water in this verse, you're also missing something. I think both are in view. But the spiritual baptism, when Christ places us into Himself and into, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Well, that occurs at the moment of salvation. But then when we follow Christ in water baptism and we go through the baptismal waters up here, well, it pictures what Christ has done. It's a portrait of what Jesus has done for each and every single one of us. And so, well, let's look at this passage, Romans chapter 6. And we're going to focus in this morning on verses 5 through 7. And just get a thought or two from this passage. And so, now there's three key words in this passage that we're looking at. We won't get to all three of those this morning. But the first key word is in verse 3, and it's no. No. The second key word is in verse 11. We won't get to it for a little bit, but it's reckon. Okay? And that's not, I reckon I'm going to go down to the quick stop and get me a drink. No, it's an accounting term. All right? So it's to add it up, to put this to my account, to know that this is done. And then the final word we're going to look at in this passage is yield. Down in verse 13. But, you know, the whole point of this is that when we get saved, God does something amazing. God does something wonderful. And it has some fruit that's going to bear. It has some things that are going to come from that. All right, let's look together. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in verse 4. So if you have found your place and if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Let's bow. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, speak to every heart this morning through your word and draw us nearer, closer to you, Lord, than we've ever been before. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, so what are we to know? Verse 3 says, know this, know something here. Well, what we're to know is that our old man, that old person that we used to be, well, it's no longer. That old man has been crucified with Christ. And so here's the neat part of this. Paul says that we are united with Christ. Look at verse 5. He says, "For if we have been planted together," in the King James it says "planted together." But literally, the word there means grown together. Okay? He says, we are grown together in the likeness of His death. And so, on one hand, this is a hard thing. This is a difficult aspect of salvation to get a hold of and to grasp. But on the other hand, it is powerful when you get this and you understand what Christ has done. And what this means is that it's no longer Jason Melton. It's no longer Kenny Pfeiffer. It's no longer Cheryl Martin. It's no longer any of us really that's in view here. It's Christ in us. When you get saved, what happens is the Lord comes into your life and He changes you. And sometimes I know Christians struggle. We fail. We mess up. We fall down. We sin. We do things we shouldn't. But here's the key to growing in the Christian walk and becoming victorious in the Christian life. It's to understand that it's not about you and what you can do. Because we can't do much. In fact, if you want to be biblically accurate, we can't do anything. We can't do nothing. We're weak. We're helpless. We're like little newborn babies. Nothing much more helpless than a newborn baby. They can't take care of themselves. They can't fend for themselves. They can't speak up for themselves. They're completely dependent. Well, y'all, we're not to stay spiritual babies, but I think we're always to stay dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And so when you read this verse and it says that we have been planted, we have been united, we have been caused to grow together. But notice exactly what it is that we're united with Christ in. Because this is not what we typically think about when we talk to people about, oh man, it'd be great if you get saved. You ask Jesus into your heart, He will forgive your sin. He will save your soul. You'll have eternal life. You can have God's peace. You know, there's a lot of blessings and benefits that come. These are not typically the things that we share when we're witnessing to folks. But this is what happens when we come to Christ. He says here, we are united with Him in the likeness of His death. I haven't heard too many TV preachers get up and say, come to Christ and die. Come and join in Christ's death. Something about that just sounds kind of weird. But you know, the reality is that's exactly what has happened. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that's true. And so what happens when we get saved? When we get saved, we are identified with Christ. We're placed into Christ. That's what that baptism word means, to be placed into. And so now everything that has happened to Jesus has happened to us. And you may have never been to Israel, but in one sense you have been to Israel. You may have never been to Mount Calvary, but in one sense you have been to Mount Calvary. You may have never been to the tomb and been buried there, but in one sense you have. You've both died and you've been buried and you've been raised to life again in Jesus Christ. Because what's happened to Him has now become true in your life. What has happened to Him has now become operative in you. It's happened in you.
Amen.
And that's powerful. Because suddenly you begin to understand that this is something much greater than me. Sometimes we think the Christian life is purely about me. Well, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. I got to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray. I missed church today, or I didn't do this right. And I I'm not doing good. Well, no, the issue is about Christ in you. It's about what Jesus Christ has already done in you. Because you are His now. And He is yours now. And His death has become your death. And that's why you no longer have to fear death. And His burial has become your burial. And you don't have to be afraid of any of that anymore. And His life, His resurrection life, the power of God raising Him from the dead to life is now flowing in you. It's working in you. We won't experience that completely until we stand in His presence. But we're experiencing it today in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit that works in our hearts and minds today. And it's an awesome thing that we are united with Him. We are grown together with Him in His death. And also, Paul says, in the likeness of His resurrection. These two areas that we are grown together with Christ. We are united with Christ. Well, that's a powerful thing. I mean, that kind of changes the question a little bit. You talked a bit, well, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Well, yeah. Yeah, I think I am. Wait a second. Either you have died with Jesus, you've been buried with Jesus, and you've been raised to new life in Jesus, or you haven't. There's no room for ifs and ands and maybes, and I wonder. It's a very real thing, or it isn't. So, get a hold of this and understand that what Paul is giving us here is powerful. I'll give you a couple scriptures. One is in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul writes in a similar way. He writes these words. He says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Some folks will say, well, preacher, I'll get saved once I can live it. You'll never live it. You'll never do it. You'll never be able to do it. You can't do it now. You won't be able to do it then. All you can do is come to Jesus, put yourself at His mercy, ask Him to save you and let Him do the work. Telling me that you're going to get saved when you can live it is like saying, well, I'm going to go get cleaned up now so I can take a bath. No, the bath is what cleans you. You don't get cleaned up before you take a bath. And Christ is what saves you and sets you free and gives you strength to be the person. Well, I don't want to be one of those hypocrites. Well, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. But don't let that keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. Don't let any number of hypocrites in the world or in the church keep you from Jesus Christ. Somebody said you can spend a little time with them down here and on the earth, or you can spend eternity with them in hell, but I'd rather put up with a few in church. Temporarily. Now, I mean, I'll be honest, there's a little streak of hypocrisy that runs through most all of us somewhere along the way. It may be a real broad streak, but it's a streak. It may be running down your back and you can't see it. You don't realize it. You don't know it, that you're a hypocrite. Because honestly, that happens. You're looking down your nose at somebody else and never dreaming that you're putting yourself in God's position. You're judging. And you're wrong. Or you're pretending something that isn't real and something that isn't true. And you're acting like you got it all together. And you're acting like your life is all good and clean and right and where it ought to be when it isn't. and it's hypocrisy. Well, when you're buried with Him in baptism, you're raised with Him, you're given a brand new life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul writes these words. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And that word "if" there could be translated "since." Since you're risen with Christ. Since you are raised with Christ. Put your heart and your mind on things above. Don't settle for the things of this life. C.S. Lewis said it's like a little child at the beach who's all preoccupied with his little sandcastles and his little play, his little toy, and playing in the sand, a little bit in the water, and never raises his eyes to see the great ocean in front of him. As a lot of Christians are like that. We're playing around with the things of this world. We're living our life for the temporary things that won't last, that will one day be consumed when we stand before Christ and it's all going to be gone and our life is up in smoke. And that's what we're focused on, and that's what we're... And meanwhile, the world around us is dying and going to hell. And there are needs all around us, and there's opportunities everywhere we look. And God wants to use you. God wants you to be a part of His plan. God wants to use you, Christian. If you're risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Seek those things that are above. Don't content yourself with the stuff down here. It's temporary. It'll go away. Well, one of the things that happens as we are united with Christ is that when God looks at us, He sees Christ. He sees His Son. You may have a hard time wrapping your mind around that. You may have a hard time believing that. But you see, that's what it means to be in Christ. And sometimes we're beating ourselves up over things that we've done or things that have happened in the past or things that have gone on. And we just need to accept the grace of God. We need to receive the grace of God and go on. We need to say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my dark soul. Saving me out of a lost condition. Thank you." Well, so verse 6. Notice this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You see, when Christ comes into your life, there's something new there. There's a brand new life. And some things change. And we're all a little different in the way we change. We're all, you know, and none of us are perfect even after we're saved. So, but some things do change. And one example I read about, I thought, well, it kind of makes sense. You know, at one time I was single. I was unmarried. A bachelor, if you will. And, you know, my life looked a certain way. Certain things I did. But then, I took a bride. I married my wife. And, by the way, apart from receiving Jesus, that's the best decision I ever made. Amen. But here's the thing about that. My life changed when I took Susie as my wife. My life changed. Before, I was a bachelor. And so, you know, I kind of did what I, you know, wanted to do up to a point. And, you know, when I got married, I still lived at home. I lived with my mom and dad. So, you know, that was there. But suddenly I got married and things changed. My whole life changed. This old part of me, it wasn't that it was all bad or anything. It was just that I had something new. Something better. And I want to encourage you that when you come to Jesus Christ, your old life, your old man, this what you used to be, is going to change. Amen. And you're going to have a brand new life. You're no longer going to be that person that you were. And if you're saved, you're not that person that you used to be. You've been changed. Now, sometimes the changes occur gradually, but some of them are pretty dramatic. Some of them happen pretty quickly, Maggie. And it's awesome. It's fun when you see that. But I want to encourage you, don't be content with living your life today. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, don't be content living in that old life, that old way. It may not be that it's all bad. Some of it could be. And you don't want to stay there. But you're a new person. You've been changed. Embrace that. Ask God to help you to understand that and to allow Him to work more fully in you and through you so that you can become exactly who He wants you to be. Well, because here's a reality for you. We don't have any physical, tangible way to express this. If we had this Spirit, Holy Spirit detector machine here at the front of the auditorium, that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? And when everybody walked through it, you know, it would just light up if you had the Holy Spirit. And in effect, what that means is if you're saved. Because if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. He's present in you. But if you walk through it and the Holy Spirit wasn't there, your sins had never been forgiven, you're not saved, it would just be this wah, 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 wah. And that would be kind of sad. But it would be helpful in that man, you'd know without a shadow of a doubt, you would know. Well, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit within you is able. You don't need a machine. You don't need some man-made thing to, diagnose Him or measure Him or inspect Him or something. The Holy Spirit of God is able to help you to know. If you're genuinely saved, He will help you to know. Here's why. It says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so if you're saved, the Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. He's going to be talking to you. He's going to be correcting you sometimes. He's going to be teaching you. He's going to be opening up new things to you. He's going to be directing you, giving you direction for serving and ministering and working for the Lord. Well, y'all, if our old man is truly gone, and I'm thankful, I look back at my life and I can see some of the ways that God has changed me. And I can still see that there's a bunch more that He's working on and I need Him to change. But I'm so thankful that God doesn't just save us and leave us the way we are. He saves us and He changes us into the man or the woman of God that He's called us to be. And our challenge is to walk with Him and to hear Him and to love Him. Our job is just to receive everything that He wants to pour into us. And because here's what happens here. Notice verse 6. We'll just look at one little thought here. It says, our old man is crucified with Him. And again, verse 6, he says, knowing this. Folks, you've got to know some things. I'm reminded, I think it was Dr. John A. Broadus preached one day, he's a great seminary professor and man of God, and he preached at a church up in Kentucky. And when he was leaving, he said, some backwoods guy met him and said, "God don't need all your learning." Dr. Broadus looked at him and said, "God don't need your ignorance either." And we need to know some things. Okay? We need not just to have some facts in a notebook somewhere. We need to have some experiential knowledge that we've gained through personal experience with Jesus Christ. And we're changed. We're different. And here's part of that difference. Verse 6 says, is that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If you are saved, you have been set free from serving sin. Now, if you're lost here today, let me just be real honest with you for a second. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in bondage to sin. Sin is your master, and you can't get past it. You can't get over it. The world has all kinds of programs and psychiatrists and all kinds of plans and books and seminars on how to do better and how to be better and how to manage your life and manage your sin. But until you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you're in bondage to sin. You're enslaved to sin. You are the slave of sin. And once you come to Christ, Jesus destroys the body of sin within you. He destroys this work of the enemy within you so that you will no longer serve sin. And I know for some that might be scary. Well, what am I going to serve? Sin's kind of fun sometimes, kind of bad sometimes, but it's what I know. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus has so much more for you than you've ever dreamed. If you'll open your heart and you'll open your mind to Him. Notice this. We're going to close with this. Verse 7. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now, I think we understand, if you've been around the Bible very much at all, you know that doesn't mean that once we get saved, we no longer commit any act of sin. Okay? 1 John chapter 1 says, if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We all sin. But here's the good part. When you come to Christ, the wages of sin is death. Christ's death pays your price. And now you've been set free. And you're not dead in sin, you're dead to sin. And there's a big difference. You've been set free. You don't have to live in that anymore. You say, well, what does that really mean? It means that you don't have to live your life in fear. You don't have to live in stress and anxiety and worry. Because those are not things of the Spirit of God. Those are the things of the fleshly nature, the sin nature. Okay? Some of us saints of God still have worry and stress and anxiety and fear and stuff like that going. But you don't have to live under those things. Okay? Doesn't mean you'll never experience that feeling. Doesn't mean you'll never have that moment. But you don't have to live in that condition. And there's a big difference. But also, it means you don't have to live in lust. You don't have to live with ungodly desires and things going through your mind. And you don't have to live there anymore. Jesus has set you free if you're saved. If you're lost, He can set you free. He will set you free if you'll trust Him. You don't have to live in desire of wanting more money. Because for some folks, man, that's important. Money is it. They just feel like, if I can have some more money, how much more? Somebody asked Rockefeller, billionaire, How much more would it take to satisfy you? Just a little more. Just a little more. Well, you're a billionaire. Well, just a little more. Just a little more. And there's the trap. You'll never get enough. You'll never find enough. There's not enough made in the world. There's not enough dollars, circulated to satisfy. But Jesus can satisfy your heart and your mind. He can give you peace. He can give you His joy. And so, Christian, here's the thing for those of us who know Jesus. We are free. We're free. We have died. Through Christ, we have died to this old way of life. And now, we've been set free. So, Christianity is not about being perfect, but it is about being free from the dominion of sin, the slavery, the stranglehold. And I promise you, there are people all around us this morning, right here within a couple miles radius, there are people out there who are in bondage to alcohol. There are people who are in bondage to drugs. There are people who are in bondage to sexual immorality. There are people who are in bondage to gambling. There are people who are addicted to anything and everything because they're trying to find something to fill up the emptiness of their soul. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. So this morning, Christian, I want to invite you to just agree with God and to say, Lord, I don't understand all of this. I don't know how I can be dead in You and how Your death can be real in my life and Your burial and Your resurrection. But Lord, I receive it. I accept it. By faith, Lord, I just receive it. I would encourage you, Christian, just to pray that. Ask, just tell God, Lord, I don't really even know what all this means necessarily. Or maybe you think you know what it means. It probably means more than you think it means. But I would encourage you, go to Him. Go to Him and say, God, I want You to work in me. I want You to work more in me. I want my life to shine for Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to just be everything in my life. Let's bow our heads. Christian, this altar's here. And you don't have to wait for a signal or a sign or something. You just come. If you feel led to come and pray, come. Right now, come. Things in your life that aren't right, things that shouldn't be there, get them straight. Get it settled. Repent. Turn back to God. Get it right. Maybe you're not a Christian at all. And you say, Preacher, I know I'm not saved. And if I died today, I know I wouldn't go to heaven. Well, you can be saved. You can have eternal life. If you'll just open your heart to Jesus Christ, you turn from your sin and from your life, from who you are, and you turn to Christ, and you can tell Him in a simple way, you can say to Him just something like this, say, Dear God, I need You. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask You to save me, forgive me, change me. Lord, do away with this sin problem that I have. God, do away with it. I don't want to live like that anymore. Change me, Lord. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior in this moment. And I thank You for dying on that cross for my sins. And I thank You for coming out of that grave on the third day, the resurrection. Thank You, Lord. Tell Him. From your heart, tell Him. Confess your need. Open up your heart and your life to Him. And trust Him. And then, once you've prayed that, you need to confess Him. You need to let others know that you're following Christ. And the greatest way we do that is through baptism. If you've been saved, maybe just right now, you've just invited Jesus to save you. Now you need to be baptized and follow Christ. And if that's you, I hope you'll come this morning and just let me know and we'll set it up. We'll talk about it. We would love to rejoice with you about what God is doing in your heart. Now, there may be other things that are on your heart today, some other decision or need or thing that God's placed upon you. Whatever it is, would you answer His call today? Father, in this moment, we just bow in Your presence and we thank You for Your love and Your power. We thank You that You are stronger than any sin, stronger than death and hell and the grave itself. Thank You, Lord, that You're able to set us free. And I pray for every single one of my brothers and sisters this morning, God, that You would set them free from anything that is keeping them from You. And Lord, I pray for anyone who doesn't know You, or maybe someone who just prayed and said, "Yes, yes, Lord, I want You. I want to be saved." God, would You give them grace now to follow You.